God is not a man. No, he's not a man, and he's not a woman either. Sorry to all you ladies. If he would be any gender, he would surely be a woman, because we all know that the female is the superior gender. Or maybe I'm the only one that knows that. Does anybody else know that besides me? No. Okay. Well, that's okay. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll own that territory. That's fine. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. God is not a man or a woman, therefore he can't literally be grieved. I told you I was going to bring you up to date on the term grieving the Holy Spirit. I can't remember how I got on that topic, but I'm on it. I promised it to you, and I'm going to deliver. Actually, the Concordant version doesn't say grieving. It says sorrow, and we're in verse 30 of Ephesians 4. We're going to get back to Hebrews, don't worry about that, in this show as we wind up the week. Do not be causing sorrow to the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed for the day of deliverance. That's spirit in us. Yeah, this is my thought. All right. Now, I've never heard this anywhere else, and I don't know if some of my brethren might disagree with me. That's okay. I'm not like sold on this, but seems to me that the spirit works in conjunction with our conscience. And you know, you can grieve your conscience when you do something that's against your conscience. You get that hot feeling, and then your blood runs cold, and it's a horrible feeling. I think by this means we grieve the spirit within us. Where's that conscience come from? Isn't that a weird thing? You have this built-in crap detector that can tell when something's very, very screwy going on. And it kicks in and you get cold and you start to sweat. And everybody has a different level of the conscience. And I think the Holy Spirit fine-tunes it. But now don't misunderstand me. When I say the Holy Spirit fine-tunes it, that could very well allow you to do more than most people because you have freedom in Christ. So your conscience actually is refined, and now you can do more things that don't go against scriptural injunctions, like, you know, drink wine, dance, things that the wacko Baptists can't do. And they think they have a wonderful conscience, but actually their conscience is tainted and it's seared, and it's a soulish conscience. That is a conscience run by the soul, not one run by the spirit, because a spirit conscience lets you have fun, lets you enjoy the things in God's creation. So again, you can't literally make God sorry, but that spirit working with our conscience, this is my thought. Now, as long as I'm in this context, I want to talk about something with you here in Ephesians 4, 29. This is leading up to it. I might as well take you to the context about how not to cause sorrow to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go all the way back to verse 26. Boy, my glasses are not working too well. Are you indignant and not sinning? Do not let the sun be sinking on your vexation, nor yet, that means, you know, don't go to bed mad. Don't be vexed. Get things settled if you can before you go to sleep, because you want to have a good night's sleep, and you're just not going to have it if you're upset. So don't let the sun be sinking on your vexation, whatever you may be vexated about, and nor yet be giving place to the adversary. Let him who steals by no means still be stealing. I'm in verse 28 now of Ephesians 4. Yet rather let him be toiling, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have to share with one who has need. This is the verse right before, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, don't cause it sorrow. Let no tainted word at all be issuing out of your mouth, but if any is good toward needful edification, that is, if any word is good toward needful edification, that it may be giving grace to those hearing. Now, some people actually think that let no tainted word at all be issuing out of your mouth, this means that you're not supposed to say cuss words, like the F word, or the S word, or the A word, or the W word. What's the W word? Only I know what the W word is, and I'm not about to tell you on this show, in front of everybody, what the W word is. This verse has nothing to do, let no tainted word at all issuing on here, nothing to do with so-called curse words, four-letter words. It has to do with words that edify, words that build up. Now, what's the opposite of a word that builds up? It's a word that tears down. You are a rotten piece of garbage. That's what you tell somebody. There's no curse words in that, so it's all right, right? No, it's not an edifying word. Here's a word that's not very edifying. Your mother is in hell. How about this one? You have to go to church or God doesn't like you. That is a tainted word. That word is tainted. It's twisted. It tears down. It doesn't edify. Now, on the other hand, I can be outside walking through the daffodils and say, oh, look at that effing butterfly. Oh, isn't that an effing beautiful butterfly? And someone would say, that's the tainted word. No, that's not the tainted word at all. You can't make a big deal out of the word itself. It's an arrangement of consonants and vowels. Big whoop. How come I can say shot, but I can't say shit? That's ridiculous. It's one vowel. Are you telling me one word edifies, one word tears down? No. Here's an edifying word. God loves you, and you're saved by grace no matter what. That's the edifying word. You want to hear the word that tears down? You have to toe the line. God is watching you, and if you don't, He's going to get you. There's not an F word in there, or an S word, not even the dreaded W word. And yet, again, some people would say that the four-letter words are tainted. Those people are really on the wrong track. They're off the base. They're not even in the ballpark. Now, they're not even in the parking lot of the ballpark. These are the people who clean the outside of the cup. They want to make sure that the outside of the cup is clean. Just don't say these four words, but who cares what's underneath? And then there are some people who are a little rough in their language, and they'll use these four-letter words, but they're sweet, and they're loving, and they give you edifying words like, be effing encouraged today, brother. You know, I don't give a shot what you said to me the other day. I still love you. That's an edifying word that includes a four-letter word. You see how we're all screwed up about that? It's called morality. The word morality is not even in the Bible. We don't want morality because that is in accord with humanity. That's in accord with fashion. That's in accord with societal mores, and that's where the word morality comes from, mores, I think. And this changes from generation to generation. What are the things that don't change? Goodness, holiness, purity, love, a good word from God. These are the things that don't change. They're always in fashion. And the words that are tainted are not a certain arrangements of consonants and vowels. They're destructive theological words. They're words of sticks and of stones that will break bones. Oh, I got that out of my system. That felt good. All in the context of Ephesians chapter 4. So now, that was a bonus teaching there, huh? Han, where did I leave off in Hebrews? Oh, yeah, going to talk to you about brotherly kindness. It's mentioned quite often here, and as I just pointed out to you, I am all for brotherly kindness. Hebrews 6, remember I left off with that phrase, we are persuaded of better things concerning you. Love that phrase. Look at verse 10, for God is not unjust to be forgetting your work. He's not going to forget your work and the love which you display for His name when you serve the saints. It's a beautiful thing to serve the saints. You remember, Paul says we're to do good to all people, but especially the household of faith. So we serve the saints, and we are serving the saints. Now, we are yearning for each one of you to be displaying the same diligence toward the assurance of the expectation until the consummation, that you may not be becoming dull. So we don't want you to become dull. And how do you keep from becoming dull? Well, you serve the saints. Now, this is an Israelite right. And again, the difference, this is just like repentance. The difference between, again, I told you, repentance in circumcision, you have to do it or else. And with Paul's gospel, it's just something you do because the Spirit of God is in you. It's not a requirement. Now, it's the same thing with this doing good, this diligence to do right, to serve your fellow human. It's a must-do in the circumcision evangel. We do it because it's an overflow of the grace of God. We're gracious to others as God has been gracious to us. And we're going to find in two other places in the book of Hebrews a reference to good works. One place is in Hebrews 10:34. Let me go there now. Hebrews 10:34. For you sympathize with my prisoners also and anticipate the pillaging of your possessions with joy. Anticipating the pillaging, the stealing, the robbing of your possessions with joy, knowing you yourselves have better and permanent property in the heavens. And this for the Jews would be the celestial Jerusalem. That's their property in the heaven, but they don't enjoy it in heaven. It descends from heaven to earth in the book of Revelation. So don't get mixed up there. So they're actually giving things. They're very generous. They did this at Pentecost. The Hebrews did. Remember, they had all their property in common because they anticipated that Christ was going to return and lot out the property. So they sympathize with prisoners, anticipate the pillage of possessions. Very, very selfless acts. The other time a reference is made in the book of Hebrews along this line is Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly fondness be remaining. I like this for us too. I'm going to close with this. Let brotherly fondness be remaining. Be not forgetting hospitality. Open your homes to people. Don't be stingy. Open your door, especially to the saints. For through this, some were oblivious when lodging messengers. Yeah, that's right, angels. I think the King James says they entertain angels unawares. Sometimes the angels can disguise themselves as humans, and they come down to earth, and you never know when that ugly-looking guy who's looking for a place to sleep or a little bit of fellowship, that might be an angel. I think this is more true for Israel than for us because angels are closely associated with Israel and we do not have the mediation of priests or angels. So in case you don't get an angel visiting you, you know, in the next few days, just be nice to your mother or be nice to your son or your daughter or your aunt and uncle. Just do good things, especially to the household of faith. Thanks for joining me, folks. Have a great weekend, and I'll be back here with more from the book of Hebrews on Monday.